Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Good evening. I'm glad you guys are with us tonight. Like Mel said, I know it's a little dreary outside, but man, I just love that. But in here, we got something going on, and so I'm really excited for what the Lord has this evening. So I'm going to go ahead and get right into it. I want to say, I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes I find myself in positions of frustration due to my very own lack, from my very own shortcomings. I don't know if anybody in here can agree with me on that, but that there are just times in my life that there are a lot of times where we find ourselves overwhelmed by looking at what needs to be done or what has to be done or the different things that are going on. And I just want you to know that if you find yourself in that position, I've got a good word for you tonight. And that I believe is going to be really, really freeing to us, especially if you find yourself bound or you find yourself being weighed down by the pressures of life or different things going on. Maybe you find yourself in a position where you feel like you're fighting an uphill battle, an uphill climb. I got good news for you. I got a really good word, and it's going to be really encouraging. And I think that it's really timely, especially following what Melanie talked about on Sunday about forgiveness and receiving forgiveness. And if you missed that message, you need to go back and listen to it. That's a powerful word on forgiveness. And I really believe that this ties into that. Because at its core tonight, truly my message centers around the grace of God. And if you'll hang with me past a little bit of a shocking revelation here, that the Holy Spirit broke to me, again, it's going to be really freeing to you. So tonight, the message is, especially if you find that you have things coming up that seem impossible, obstacles getting in your own way, your shortcomings that seem to be blocking your success, this is the word of encouragement that I have for you that's also the title of my message. And that is, no, you can't. You can't do it. Tonight, if you are in a position, you just need to know that you can't. Now, I know that in our church, where we speak a lot about faith and a lot about different things, that sounds very anti what this church is about. But I promise that if you'll let me put some context to this word, that you'll get the revelation that came to me, and I promise it's going to make sense. I spoke a little bit about this at our school, and I shared just a snippet of some of the things from this. So guys, don't bail out on me if you're over there listening. There's some more to this word. This is like deeper than that. But I want to give some context to this title here of No, You Can't. See, a few years ago, I was going through a time where I just had a lot of things just really, really overwhelming me. And I found myself just going through a flux of I'd be doing good for a little while, and then I'd start getting overwhelmed. And I'd be doing good for a while, and I'd be getting overwhelmed. And I just remember praying one night, just asking the Lord what was going on and why this was just seeming to be a constant in my life. And this passage of Scripture came up that I want you guys to go ahead and start turning to. It's John 5, 1 through 9. And it revealed something to me that I had never heard about whenever I was reading this passage of Scripture. And when we first read through it, it may not make sense as to what we're talking about, but let the Holy Spirit work here. John 5, 1 through 9 says this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, was a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. It's like a porch, okay? Or a lean-to porch, something like that. You can look it up if you want to. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat, and he walked. So what does this have to do with no, you can't? See, what this guy was doing, he was trying to get something. See, he had been sick for 38 years of his life. And he had been going through this time of trying to figure out a way that he could get himself healed. Now, it says that he was sick for 38 years. We don't know how long he'd been laying at the pool, but we have to assume that he was committed to trying to make this work in his life, that other things had led him to this point where, okay, I'm going to try to put myself in a position physically where I can receive something that I don't have access to. And see, in the past, how I had read this story and understood it, it was kind of like, oh, God, thank you for your grace for this lazy man. You know, I mean, if he'd have really, really wanted it, if he'd have really wanted to get what he was supposed to be getting, he would have been right there next to the pool, and the moment that angel had stirred that water, boom, he'd be the first one to get in there. But as I started reading it with this context of what the Lord was trying to reveal to me, it became really, really apparent. He couldn't walk. How was he supposed to beat someone into the pool? Who's he going to beat in a foot race? To dive head first into this pool to get better? Nobody. Well, he should have got one of his friends to help him into the pool, right? He should have been able to... What did he say to Jesus? I have no one to help me into the pool. See, the reality of his situation was his lack, his inability to get into the pool was keeping him from receiving his healing. And in his mind, the way he was looking at it, the way that he was able to understand it, what he had to do was, the only way that I'm ever going to get healed, the only way I'm going to be able to get to the place where I'm supposed to do is, boy, if I just work really, really, really hard and stay committed, I'll eventually make it in here. But let me tell you something. There was no way he was ever going to be able to make it that way. There was never, ever going to be a chance that he was going to be able to get in there. Because he was disabled. He didn't have the ability. He had something within him that was going to keep him there, except for the fact that Jesus came. Except for the fact that Jesus came onto the scene. See, what the Lord started revealing to me was the reason why that I was going through this process was whenever I was reading this story, I was thinking, well, if I'll just try a little harder. Or man, if I'll just work just a little bit longer. Or man, if I just take on this responsibility and just really, if I'll just, man, I'll just be the good Christian and I'll just, what I wasn't recognizing, was what I wasn't looking at was my own inability to do those things. See, I was looking at what everyone else around me was doing, seeing how they were being successful and going, that's the way I have to do it. Boy, if you can't handle these practices at these times and handle these assignments at this time, and man, you're just not gonna make it. What's gonna happen if you don't? And that was the revolving door that I just walked through all the time. But the moment that God be able to lay this on my heart was that on my own, I had no opportunity to go through and receive what I was supposed to receive. On my own, my shortcomings were gonna keep me in a place. On my own, I was never going to receive what I needed to receive and get through to the place that I was supposed to get to. But if I'll just let Jesus come in the situation, take up your mat, I can go on. See, there's a lot of stories in the Bible that are like this that I think people, we read sometimes as Christians, and we make these parallels of, oh, well, they should have done this situation different. You know, I think about David and Goliath, and I think about how people sometimes look at the Israelites and they go, man, I can't believe none of those other Israelites had the courage to go out there and fight Goliath. Well, let me tell you something. Had any of those other Israelites gone out there and fought Goliath, they'd have been killed. See, it was only David who was anointed to become the king. And see, and had David gone before he'd been called and been anointed to become the king, guess what would have happened to him if he would have fought Goliath? He'd have been squished. But the moment that God told Samuel and said, this is my king, he's going to be the next guy, all of a sudden now there was a road and a way that he could be the parallel of the next king of Israel. See, whenever David went in and told Samuel, see, I protected my flock, what he was really saying is, Israel is my flock now. I'm going to protect them. And see, what that did was that lined him up to beat it. Another story that I'm reminded of whenever I think about situations like this is we look at the disciples in the boat with Peter. Man, if any of those other disciples would have just had a little bit more faith, they could have walked out there on the water. No, 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 no. Who was the only one that he said, come? He said it to Peter. Now, had the other disciples said, Lord, if you'll tell me to come, I'll come and do it, then they could have. But see, this is what I'm trying to get at. There's a lot of us that I think, especially in this room or people who are listening maybe on podcast, you're like this man at the pool of Bethesda. You're looking around at all the Christian people and you're seeing how they're doing things and how they're operating your life. And you think, if I'll just do things like them, I'm going to be in the place where I have to be. If I just get close enough, and you're not receiving. See, just being close to what's going on doesn't get it all over you. Just being around stuff that's going on, see, just being in a place where good things are happening, where you know, okay, I know Christian Ministries Church is a place where God's doing things and God's, but why ain't it getting on me? Why is this not happening to me? What? We've got to move a step further. We got to get Jesus in there. Now understand, I'm not saying that it's necessarily about, oh, well, you're not saved or you're not this or you're not that. What I'm saying is we have to be able to look at our limitations. We have to accept that there are certain things that I can't do it. We've got to be able to look ourselves in the face and go, okay, that's where I know one of my shortcomings is. See, we need to understand that God doesn't look at you and go, oh man, what am I going to do now? Oh gosh. Oh God. I mean, God's like going, oh God, what am I going to do now? That's not what he's doing. See, God doesn't get worried about stuff like that. See, what God's doing whenever he sees your shortcomings, whenever he sees your failures, whenever he sees the things that he knows are your faults, God's going, there's a perfect opportunity. There's a perfect opportunity. There's a perfect opportunity. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Listen, it's too late. You can't be the perfect dad. You can't be the perfect mom. You can't be the perfect son. You can't be the perfect daughter. You can't be the perfect teacher. You can't be the perfect preacher. You can't be the perfect singer. You can't be the perfect guitar player. You can't be, it's too late. But understand, that don't mean nothing to God. That doesn't disqualify you. And I want you to understand this too, that tonight's message isn't just the serenity prayer personified. Lord, help me to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to understand the difference. However, serenity means calm, peaceful, and untroubled. There's some real peace in recognizing, Lord, I know that that's something that I need to work on. Lord, I know that that's something that I need you to help me through. Because God, if I keep trying to take this all on myself, and see, this is what we do as Christians. We start trying to pull things on our back. Well, now that I'm saved, now that I'm at this place where I'm a Christian, now that the grace of God has come in my life, I'm going to work really, really hard to keep it. And that's not the way that God intended it to be. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Guess what? No, you can't. You're too short. You're too tall. You're too big. You're too small. You're too unqualified. You're not educated enough. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not kind enough. You're not hardworking enough. You're not as elegant of a speaker enough for people to be able to. All the shortcomings, it's all true. But praise be to God that he's not up in heaven getting frustrated at those things. Praise be to God that his grace is sufficient. Albert Einstein has a quote that I think is really, really great. And he said it, but I guess a lot of other people said it too. Don't call me later and be like, Chapman, you said Albert Einstein said this. Well, it's not just him. Okay, Albert Einstein was a famous person that said it. So, and the quote is this. If you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. If you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. You'll live your whole life like that man at Bethesda. Well, if I can just get into that pool, if I can just race somebody and get into the pool, I can. Okay, you're taking out God out of your equation. You're going to start feeling like you're a failure because you're not doing it the way that you think that it ought to be done. You're not leaving any room for the grace of God. So here's what's really, really cool about this message tonight as we start to dive into this passage of Scripture. Knowing you can't means recognizing that only God can. Knowing you can't accepts the grace of God, which is where true peace is found. Knowing you can't allows God to work through you and allow you to be the change that God wants. And knowing that you can't means that you understand that grace requires no assembly. Grace of God doesn't come to you and, okay, now I've got to put this all together and now let me make this fit exactly how. No. There's no work required. See, the grace of God requires no assembly. All it requires is for you to believe. And again, I hope that we understand that this message isn't a put down, nor is it an okay, I can just give up. It's okay. God's okay with me not ever changing, not ever. We understand that here at this church, that's not what that we're saying here. We do have some work to do, but it's with God. It's not by yourself. It's in a relationship. It's not religion. It goes beyond that. And again, it's not that we're going to turn all your weaknesses into strengths. Okay? Got a guy sitting here on the front row who's known me since kindergarten. I used to get in trouble for talking. Okay? Guess what? If I'm not careful, I can still get in trouble for talking too much. Okay? But praise God that I'm able to recognize that if I can take care of it, if I can watch it, if I can keep it, I'm not going to get myself in trouble so much. Listen, the things that you struggle with, I'm not sitting here and trying to condemn you and say, guess what? Now this thing's going to rule over your life for the rest of your life. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you will have to allow the grace of God to move you forward in those things, to prepare you for the next step, to move you on to the next thing so you can get off your mat and walk. Amen. Everybody following me with that? So I want to show us some steps that I believe are necessary for us to truly turn our situations around. Four quick things that I want to point out from this passage of Scripture that I think will keep us from banging our heads on the wall and feeling like we're like this guy at the pool of Bethesda, trying to beat everyone in a foot race whenever we can't do it. We got to turn some stuff over to God. So here are the four things. The first one is we need to open our hearts up to God's voice. The second one is we need to let him reveal our lack. The third thing is we need to let him work. And the last one is we need to get up. So the first one, open our heart to God's voice. See, we have to allow God to speak to us when we find ourselves in positions where our weaknesses or our lacks have allowed us to be overwhelmed and overcome, okay? Notice, whenever Jesus met this guy, he'd been sick for 38 years. He'd been watching people zoom, 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 diving into the pool before him. And whenever Jesus approached him and said, "Do you not want to get well?" The man's response wasn't, "Leave me alone, Jesus. You let me get like this." That wasn't his response. He allowed Jesus to minister to him. He allowed Jesus to strike up a conversation to him. And Jesus pointed out to him, "Don't you want to get well?" See, what Jesus was saying was, "Here I am. Not that pool. Not that thing that you think is going to get you to the next spot. No. Here I am. Don't you want to get well?" See, Jesus was trying to get that conversation started, and see, that's where we have to get. We've got to allow the Lord to speak to us. And so whenever we allow the Lord to speak to us, we can let 2 Corinthians 12:9 take a hold of us. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'"
I'm going to let the Lord's power rest on me. And the way that I'm going to do it is I'm going to let him reveal to me things that I can do better. The things that I am falling short in. Listen, it's not God's not trying to slam me. He sees me. He knows me. He cares about me. I know that. I have a relationship with him. So whenever he brings up something that says, hey, Chapman, you're talking a little too much. Starting to get all up in your feelings. What that does to me is he's trying to protect me from getting myself in a position where I'm going to be overwhelmed. But see, we'll never get to that spot. That God's grace will never rest on you if we're all the time, well, I'll just handle it my own way. I'll get in the pool my own way. I'll do it this way, whenever the healing that we really need is right there. Y'all get what I'm saying? So we've got to open our heart to God's voice. The second one is we need to let him reveal our lack. See, again, I already said this, but Jesus' question was what? Don't you want to get well? Listen, the way that you're going about it isn't working. Your shortcomings, your faults, your whatever you want to call them are hindering you from getting the thing that you want. That's good. It's a good thing, but alone you're not ever going to accomplish it. See, what Jesus was trying to get him to see is that you need me. You can't beat anyone there. And what the really, really cool thing was the moment that he allowed Christ to start that conversation with him to reveal his lack to him, boom, he was healed. Boom, he was taken to the next. Boom, he was, take up your mat, walk. So whenever we allow God to reveal to us our lack, we can address the situation. See, it's whenever we can't look at ourselves in a mirror the right way. Come on. It's whenever we don't want to look at those things that we know are holding us back. See, because we've got this whole big future plan for ourselves, and I'm going to do it this way. No, we've got to follow the example that God is trying to show us. Third one here. Let him work. Let him work. Let him work. Let him work. We just got to let him work. Let him do the work. This should be so freeing for us as children of God. Ephesians talks about it. It's by grace that you've been saved, not through works, not through deeds. That defeats the whole purpose. See, whenever Jesus Christ was on the cross, and he said, it is finished, and the veil was torn. What was happening was all the work that needed to be done was done. Zechariah chapter 4, 6 through 7. 4, 6, and 7. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. What's the obstacle that's in your way? What's your own obstacle, your own mountain, your own thing that really, to be honest, it's your own fault, it's your own shortcoming that's created something that's not letting us get to the goal that God's wanting us to get to? Listen, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but by the Spirit of God that mountain will be cast into the sea. By the Spirit of God, that mountain will be cast into the sea, and we'll be able to make it plain and build something off of it. See, this story is really, really cool. And yours can be too, but you've got to get to a place where you'll let God do the work. We've got to be able to put some stuff down and say, Lord, I'm stressed out. I'm getting anxiety. I'm getting all this stuff built up on me. Whenever you find yourself in those positions, let the Lord minister to you like he did to me. Listen, the reason why you keep coming around to this thing is because you keep trying to take things on yourself that aren't yours to take on. And you have to know that you can't do it. That's what God was revealing to me. You will fail. You will let someone down. You're going to end up hurting somebody because you made a commitment over here to someone, but you made 9 other commitments to other people because you don't have the ability to say no. And this first person who really, really, really needed you, you're then going to let them down. See, it's little things like that that the Lord's trying to show us that we can build something off of. We've got to be able to admit the things that we've got that are false, the things that are holding us back. And the last part of this is we need to get up. We need to get up off our mat. The only reason this guy was able to get up off the mat is because Jesus said, get up. That's the only reason. The only reason why you'll be able to overcome your shortcomings, the only reason why you'll be able to overcome your faults, the only reason why you'll be able to move beyond the things that you know that you can't do is because Jesus said, get up. Get up and go do this work. Listen, again, you're too short. You're too tall. You're too slow. You're too whatever. All these things, yep. And the only reason why you'll ever be able to move beyond that, the only reason why you'll be able to continue to do good things for the kingdom, the only reason why you'll be able to move beyond the place that you find yourself right now, stuck on the ground, is if you let the Lord speak into your life and tell you to get up. But that won't happen if you just continue to do things over here on your own. Don't you want to get well? Don't you want to move beyond? Don't you want to go to the next level? Okay, then let me speak it to your life. Let me help you get to the next. Let me command you to get up. Then you can go slay the giant. Then you can go walk on the water. Then you can go to where he's commanded you to go. Then you can go be fruitful. Then you can go get to all these blessings. And listen, if you're out there in the crowd or if you're listening on podcasts, you're thinking, well, I just don't know. If think about all the people in the Bible that God used that had, Abraham and Sarah were too old to have children. Moses stuttered. Gideon only had 300 men to fight. You just keep going down the line. All the stories of the disciples and who they were and their backstories and all the things like that that make you go, okay, so God can use some people that maybe don't have everything all together. Listen, God's not looking for you to be perfect. There's a reason why he sent Jesus Christ. There's a reason why you weren't Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself. You can't work hard enough to get into heaven. You can't work hard enough to earn God's grace. God's not looking for you to be a super apostle. I love that term that Paul puts in the Bible. All these super apostles that have these super abilities. We're not here at Christian Ministries Church. You don't have to be a super Christian to serve here. Okay, now yeah, we might want to see some evidence of the faith that you profess in your lifestyle. Sure. Might be some things we're looking for, but listen, we're not asking to be super Christian. I never sin. Oh, I never have to deal with. Okay, when people start talking like that, my ears kind of go, red flag. You sin a lot, you just don't recognize it. Oh, I don't have any faults. Okay. Okay. See, and that's just what I want us to get to this tonight is just that. Man, God can allow us to get off of our mat. Philippians 4:13, this is one we all know. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yes, you need to know that you can't, but through Christ, you can. Know that you can't, but through Christ, you can. Through Christ, you have the ability because he's called you. Because you're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen nation. He sent his Holy Spirit to give you power and authority. To give you an ability to understand. An ability to go to the next level, to do new things, to move beyond the place that you were stuck in. No, you can't tonight. That's my word of encouragement. Okay, so this week, whenever somebody's, you just know, you need to tell them, no, you can't. And then explain to them, but God through, you can, all right? Make sure you add that little caveat in, all right? I hope that this was an encouragement tonight. I hope that this relieves some pressure. I hope that this reveals to hopefully some people who maybe you feel, maybe this is you. Maybe you feel like, man, I've just been stuck in this place trying to get to the next level. And I've been looking around at other people in my church or in my family that seem like they're doing it this way and I'm trying to do it their way and I can't. Don't do that. Don't compare yourself to other people. You'll spend your whole life judging yourself and your ability to climb a tree and you're a fish. You don't have that ability. That's not what you're good at. Last thing, you guys stand with me, this was something I heard. I was coaching with a guy in North Carolina, and he was a pretty colorful guy. But one of my favorite things that he said, was, be who you are, not who you aren't, to our players. Be who you are, and not who you aren't. I thought about that for a long time. And that's really what God's saying here. Listen, be who you are. Don't try to be who you're not. Let God's grace cover you in the areas that you're not. Because he can and he will. And he wants to. That's what his word is all full of. Stories of people who didn't have the ability. That's okay. God's not fretting over that. And God can move through you tonight. So y'all bow your heads with me and let's pray.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.